I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers yesterday that celebrate. You know, Mother's Day was given to us by the Catholic Church. Another great contribution of Catholicism, because the month of May is the month that we dedicate to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we should be beefing up our Marian spirituality and our Marian prayers in the month of May. And as a result of the month of May being dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Catholicism, it made its way into American culture, and they started calling yesterday's day, May 10th, they started calling it in America Mothering Day, which is basically a day where we honor our mothers, which came to be known as Mother's Day. This was because of the influence of the Catholic Church honoring Mary in the month of May. I'm on duty. Terry, are you on duty?
I'm on duty, sir. Jesse, we got a great show today. We're going to be talking about the connection between the fall of the Roman Empire and America. It's a fascinating topic. Also, we're going to talk about Pope Benedict Emeritus speaking out. We're also going to talk about the battle for California's soul. We know what happens in California goes to the rest of the country. And also, I just want to report for duty because Saturday we had 200 people at our chapel wanting to go to confession. I had several priests hearing confessions. It was beautiful. We social distancing. People would come into the church and one at a time, and it was awesome. And we're going to do it again next Saturday at 10:30 in the morning. And we're just going to keep doing this until the other churches, all our churches, open up and bring back the sacraments, because people are hurting. But Jesse, we're going to have the gospel. That's my favorite part of the show, the readings from the Mass. And I have a special guest that Bishop Sheen's bringing to the show on that locomotive train. You're going to love who he has on board with him. So, Jess, could we ask you to read from the Gospel of John? We've been reading from John for quite some time. And this is the reading from John chapter 14, verse 21 to 26.
Terry, I just want to give kudos to the Protestants over in California.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently this weekend, thousands of Protestants and all the major denominations in California, they had their services in defiance of the governor. I don't know the repercussions. I'll read up today and do some research. Mm-hmm. But I was told that the Protestants, all of them in California, essentially says, you know what, we're going to lock arms.
Sure.
We're all going to go worship God.
Yep.
And we're going to take our licks if the government comes down on us. So I don't know. Maybe you could find out since you're in California.
I'll check it out, Jesse. Yeah, I will. I heard about that, and I will look into that. And Jesse, again, many parishes and across the country are starting to open up. Well, California is probably way behind the times. I'll just give this. Even in Southern California, Orange County, you're no longer asking people to wear masks, or Riverside County, only Los Angeles County. So I see things are moving. I'll be honest with you, Jesse. I just see people calling them out and saying, wait a minute. After all these thousands of doctors speaking up about this, we're realizing that we approached this in the wrong way. So that's my take. But getting back to the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesse, before you read the good news of Jesus Christ, let me just read one more thing to folks regarding this whole situation regarding, COVID-19. St. John Paul II said this years ago, and this is the answer I give everybody about what's going on in the church today. Deepen your knowledge of Jesus Christ. This ends loneliness. It overcomes sadness and uncertainty. It gives real meaning to life. It curbs the passions. It exalts the ideals. It expands the energies and charity. It brings light into these decisive choices. Let Jesus Christ be for you the way, the truth, and the life. Why do I say that, Jess? Because I want to make sure we don't take our eyes off Jesus with all this going on. That's why, Jess, I'm asking you to read the gospel of today's Mass, because that's the best, that's the highest on the food chain, God's Word.
Yep. John chapter 14, verses 21 to 26, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 already
says it all.
Takes all the steam out of the argument Protestant reformers 500 years ago.
Yep.
Their complete false notion of salvation, that a man is saved by faith alone, is completely rejected every time our Lord Jesus Christ opens his sacred lips and talks about salvation. I just can't see how the Protestant reformers would hold to such a silly theology.
Right.
When you read the plain words of Jesus, he denies it every single time.
Yep.
He goes on to say, whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Again, right there, it shows the unity of the first and second person of the Blessed Trinity. To love God is the Father's to love Jesus. He says, he goes on to say, Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, look, he's going to describe what it means to live in a state of grace right here. He says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, notice the plural, we, God is a plurality of persons, notice the we, and we will come to him, he's talking about coming to your soul, we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. See, right there, that verse defines what is living in a state of grace. God, the Trinity, living in your soul. That's almost word for word right from the Catechism, paragraph 1996 and 1997. It says, our Lord says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. Let me say something about that passage. I know a person who emailed me and said, Jess, I hate so many people in my family, but I go to daily mass. Jess, I hate this person in my family. I don't want to forgive them because they did this, but I pray my daily rosary. And as I responded to the person, I said, if you're in mortal sin, if you're angry with your family members and you don't forgive them, you haven't confessed this anger, you're in mortal sin. And I said to this person, did you know that Catholic teaching that a person in mortal sin, their prayers have no merit before God? The person was shocked. They never heard that before. They go, I go to daily mass and I pray the daily rosary, but I can't stand this person in my family. I can't stand that person. I'm not going to forgive this person. And I just said, okay, well, here's what the Council of Trent says in St. Thomas Aquinas. A person who is in living in mortal sin, their prayers have no merit before God. This person was shocked because they'd never heard this before. Mm-hmm. I go on to say, the Bible goes on to say, I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. There we go. Again, this kind of sets the this kind of settles the Greek East-West schism. Mm-hmm. They say, God the Father sends the Holy Spirit, not Jesus. Jesus has nothing to do with it. That's the essential argument of the schism. But here it says, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, whom the Father will send, first person of the Trinity, in my name, second person of the Trinity. So Jesus has something to do with the sending of the Holy Spirit, which is denied by the Orthodox. This is why we have the Greek East-West schism, specifically this verse, which shows the Catholic position that Jesus does have something to do with the sending of the Holy Spirit. Then he ends by saying, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
What's he going to teach you? It's called the deposit of faith.
Exactly.
And what's the deposit of faith? Sacred scripture, sacred tradition, according to the perennial magisterium of the church.
Remember what Jesse just said, perennial teachings of the church. What does that mean? Perennial mean that it's always taught that. That's why no pope, no bishop, no priest, not even Jesse Romero, nobody has the authority.
Oh, I have no authority.
I'm joking. I know you don't, brother. I was trying to play with you there. Yeah. Jesse, nobody has the authority to change divine revelation. Nobody has the authority to change what the perennial teachings are there. Jesse, I want to bring...
It's called modernism.
Of course they're trying. They're
always pushing hard.
You got it. I want to bring in with Bishop Sheen, his friend, on that locomotive train. You know who he brought with us, Jesse? His good friend, And this is Venerable Joseph Cardinal Manzenti. For those who don't know who Cardinal Manzenti is, great bishop in Hungary in 1956, he was persecuted by the communists because he wouldn't compromise. I don't have time to tell you more, but listen to what he has to say about mothers. He said, "The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She needs not. She has built something more magnificent than the cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, a tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been so blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the Creator, than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother?" Jesse, I read this to my wife every Mother's Day to say thank you for being the mother of my child. This is what Cardinal Manzenti wrote, 80 years ago? And it's still so profound. You know why, Jess? Truth doesn't change.
Yeah, and this is a cardinal that understood the
suffering,
communist persecution.
Absolutely.
And this is what we're dealing with right now.
You got it.
We're dealing with communism. It's basically encroaching all over the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to soft pedal it by calling themselves, you know, socialist or sustainable development or social justice causes. But all of this, Terry, Cardinal Manzenti, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, they would call this communism.
Amen. When we come back, we're going to talk about the connection between the Roman Empire, the fall, and America. It's going to blow you away. This is a topic that is close to my heart, and I know you're going to like that. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great." And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the Church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His Church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our declining empire, is there a parallel between pagan Rome and America today.
What about pagan America?
Yeah, pagan America. You're right, Terry. And this is, yeah, this is what Pope John Paul II called the culture of death. Pagan America. It's a synonym for the. So you know, the Roman Empire, when you take a look at history, it lasted a long time despite its many emperors, who were of course egomaniacs. There were a few Christians like Constantine. Some of these emperors were just plain crazy, like Nero, Domitian, for example. But what caused Rome's decline and fall was not only incompetent emperors or barbarian border enemies invading or mass dementia from lead water pipes. The underlying reasons were more subtle. One being popular belief in the merit of bloodlines. Mm-hmm. Aristocratic families, that's the rich, like the Julia Claudia generations, tracing their ancestry back 800 years to Romulus, the founder of pagan Rome, and the goddess Venus, promoted their own kin, even if a favorite son was unworthy for office. So America, we have our own problem with this as well. It's called nepotism.
Exactly.
America has its own blue blood aristocracies, considering the Roosevelts, the Kennedys, the Bush clans, incurable and pernicious nepotism. That means hiring your own family, even if they're not qualified, just because you have blood attachments. This is what contributed to Rome's collapse. And yet modern governments, you know, include the same thing. I would also say that the same things happen in the Catholic Church. We've seen nepotism.
Oh, yeah.
Is cardinals bringing their favorite homosexual, liberal, progressive seminarians and moving them up the ranks. So there's a nepotism also within the church as well. The article says Rome was damaged by its slave-based economy. The Third Servile War threatened to undo the empire with armies of slaves led in rebellion by the Thracian gladiator Spartacus. Well, America, we had our own
Civil War
back in 1861.
Mm-hmm.
And what played a star role in crippling Rome was, ironically, get this, its advanced technology.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. The population fell into complacency and overindulgence. And recent excavations at Pompeii reveal that Rome's technology featured running hot and cold water, faucet valves as good as Moen faucets, heated living quarters, window panes as large as storefronts, missed air conditioning and sliding closet doors. Also, outdoor tables, people ate fast food. Bars served pizza with gourmet toppings from all over the world. You also had public baths, which segregated men and women and provided massages or masseuses. You had villas that had water fountains, indoor gardens, lifelike murals, paintings, and sculptures. Iron-reinforced concrete walls reached many stories. Fire trucks back then had two-piston water pumps, while steam engines enhanced sailing ships. And their system invented double jeopardy, which is any false witness perjury, among other current concepts, including appeals to a Supreme Court. So it was this prosperity that Rome was experiencing, this luxury. Rome was swimming in luxury. So the basic human nature, it tended towards excess, indulgence, moral apathy, a foolish tolerance of incompetence. And so the Roman Empire's debauched, distracted citizenry got too drunk by the prosperity to wage battle in self-defense, to practice what the Catholic Church has always taught, self-denial, penance, asceticism, monastic prayer. Mm-hmm. So the poor Roman citizens, they got used to wasteful handouts by the government.
That's right.
The government kept them entertained by how? Bread and circuses by these petty politicians that were looking to capture votes. It looks like, Terry, it was the culture of entitlement, and it looks like we have the same thing,
absolutely,
the same template in America right now.
And Jesse, also, the article pointed out something very interesting. It's silver currency slowly debased to pay off the soaring debts, like we have debts in America. Jesse, this shocked me. A couple years after our Sacred Heart Chapel was built, 1911, was 1913, where the purchasing power of a dollar, Jess, if you took a dollar from your great-grandparents, it would only be worth 3 cents today. So we can see how inflation has just gone crazy. And here's the point, Jess, and you know this. Years ago, Father George Rutler, a priest in New York, did a series on EWTN called Crisis in Culture. And he basically summarized a lot of what is said here, but he also added what you just said about the age of entitlements, that tore down Rome because too many people got so lazy, many people, that they didn't want to work again, okay? Just like America. And they got drunk just like America, and they got easy living. They got in soft, you know, we got our nice houses, we got our air conditioning, we got nice cars now. Everything's comfortable. And then another thing that they pointed out in Rome was the immorality that was going on. Jesse, homosexuality was a big problem in the Roman times. And we have our own problems with that. So we have pornography. They had pornography. All the same things that collapsed the Roman Empire are right now in our culture. And I just want to offer this to people. It's 13 half-hour weeks of Father Rutler on EWTN years ago on audio CD. I'll send it to anybody who wants to really get a good education on the crisis of culture. Father Rutler's a very smart man, a very good communicator. You just call 877-526-2151. Small donation, and I'll send you all 13 half-hour shows so that you can be a high-information Catholic. Father George Rutler's written probably 30 books. He's an Anglican convert, and Jess and I both have learned a lot from Father Rutler. This guy is sharp. So if you want to go online, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call it and get the 13 half-hour shows on crisis of culture. It's an amazing expose of how our culture is just like the fall of Rome, and unless we change morally, we will fall. Call 877-526-2151 and get your copy.
Here's another reason why Rome fell. I'm looking, this is an old article from the Catholic News Agency.
Yeah.
It's saying here, the five reasons, among others, why the Roman Empire fell. The most important of the five have to do with the breakdown of religion, morality, and the family. So here are the five reasons that CNA, Catholic News Agency, gives. It says, number one, family disintegration. Bachelors became more highly esteemed than husbands and fathers in Roman society in the second and third century of the Christian era. It had become a stigma for men to be tied down to families. So sexual liberation, especially amongst men, was praised and lauded in pagan Rome. Much the same today, Terry.
Of course.
Just, a lot of young men are just afraid to get married and stuff. They just, the Jews have always taught that marriage matures a man.
That's the
basis for marriage, according to Old Testament Judaism, is that marriage thrust a boy into manhood.
That's right.
And this is, again, this is pagan Roman had the same problem. People, I think that's why Hugh Hefner called his magazine, he didn't call it the magazine of naked women. He didn't call it Play Men. He calls it Playboy, because he intuitively knows that a man that reduces sexual intimacy just merely to fantasies and pornography is the boy and remains perpetually a boy. The second reason that Rome fell, according to the Catholic News Agency, was low birth rate.
That's right.
Is that happening here?
You got it.
Is that happening in Europe? It says, during the centuries that followed Christ's ascension into heaven, the Roman Empire had already experienced a precipitous drop in the birth rate. This trend started when Augustus, the Roman emperor, reigned. Even he tried to promulgate incentive for families to have more children, but it was too late. Before Augustus, it wasn't unusual for couples to have up to a dozen children. In the decades which followed, couples, much like today, had only one or no child at all. And the third reason here, and then I'll turn it over to Terry, it says there was a fragmentation of religion in pagan Rome. They had so many gods for so many special causes and towns, kind of like America, Terry. We have a lot of religions here. Religious pluralism. You could even believe in Satanism here.
That's right.
You could believe in, in Indian gods, Hindu gods, voodoo gods. Anything's allowed in America, much like pagan Rome. It's called the fragmentation of religion, where you have all these false gods that are being imported into Rome, into the Roman Empire, all these pagan rituals.
Yep.
And so there's no uniformity. Well, the same thing's happened in the West. Over the many years in the West, they've embraced so many religions that we've found it difficult. People have found it difficult to say, hey, we're the one true church.
Right.
You know, because when you see compromise, even from our leadership, when you see compromise about, oh, yeah, you know, Muslims, God wills Muslims as well. He willed that religion. And, You know, we have statues of Martin Luther in the Vatican and stuff now, hailing him as the great person. When you have this type of confusion and you're afraid to say we're the one true church started by Jesus Christ, that's what's called the fragmentation of religion.
Got it. I just want to update everybody. I made a mistake on this Crisis in Culture. It's not on our website. It'll be on our app, but it is able to, you're able to get it if you just call the 877-526-2151. That's immediately ready and willing to get you that MP3 file of Father George Rutler. He talks about, Jesse, how in the Roman Empire, they actually used contraceptives. They had these herbs that women would take to stop them from being able to have children. So what's the difference? There really isn't much difference between someone taking these herbs or taking the pill. It have the same result. So we have so much in likeness to the Romans that, you know, my concern is that, you know, I hope we're not too late like they were, Jesse, on trying to straighten the ship out. But I know one thing, we got to have our eyes on Jesus, and that's what we need to do. So again, if you want to get a copy of that 13-week course by Father George Rutler, Crisis in Culture, call 877-526-2151. St. John Paul II also said in 1993, when he wrote a letter to the families, just you and I were there, I'll never forget reading it at the family conference to thousands of families, he said, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes, and how true that is.
Yep. I like the way this article ends by Robert Del Orfano. He says, ever increasing expenditures for military retirees and government pensions, relentless border expansions with endless wars, and expanding bureaucracy to govern new territories, all these balloon the empire's indebtedness.
Yeah.
Its silver currency slowly debased to pay off soaring debts. America has been doing the same thing.
That's right.
Devaluing the dollar to 3% of its 1913 purchasing power, as Terry just
3%.
Said.
3%.
And the article says here, Emperor Trump is not the problem, but we the people are.
Yeah.
And all I can say, Terry, is what's happening in the United States right now is an exact template of what happened in pagan Rome, which caused it to implode. So I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But all you have to do is just be somebody who reads history. And I just remember what Scott Hahn's always saying. He says, the more history...
more things change, the more things are the same.
Yes. The more things change, the more things are the same. Say it again.
The more things change, the more things are the same. This is just history repeating itself.
Yeah, he's basically taking what Cicero said.
Yeah, exactly.
Cicero was a Roman philosopher. He warned us 2,000 years ago. He says, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. That's what's happening here. The prediction of the future of the United States of America, just look at Rome. We're committing political suicide, especially if the progressive socialist left takes power. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio, And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Terry, I want to mention something important because we've got some emails about, hey, you guys can't say this, you guys can't say that.
We should respond, yeah, of course.
And I responded, by the way. I always respond to the critics. Here's what I'll say, first of all, to Catholics. Number one, there are some moral issues that the church calls non-negotiable or intrinsically evil or intrinsically disordered.
Yep.
We can't disagree. Every Roman Catholic Christian on the United States has to agree on the non-negotiable issues, which are a few, and they're in the catechism. Abortion. We can't be pro-abortion, homosexual marriage, euthanasia, cloning, embryonic fetal stem cell research, denial of religious liberty. However, and of course, the sacramental theology, we must believe what the church teaches about the sacraments of the Mass. Mm-hmm. There are some things that we must believe in as Catholics, radio hosts, listeners, everybody. There are other things we can disagree on. We're not all robots. We don't all think the same. We can disagree on immigration policy, how it should be rolled out and enacted. And you're not a bad Catholic if you disagree with me. And I'm not going to say you're a bad Catholic if you disagree with me. I just lean on the church's teachings. That's all I do. And that doesn't make me a right winger or Terry. It just makes us Catholics that are trying to listen to the church as the church gives direction. The church has policy direction on certain topics, but certain topics you're free. For example, one of the big things about Catholicism, Terry, we believe in free speech.
That's right.
We don't believe in communism. I don't want anybody to be censored. Even a Catholic that I would disagree with on radio, that's a leftist, progressive, socialist, Marxist, I disagree with them. I'm just not going to listen to them. But I'm not going to say, get them off the radio. Just wanted to put that out there, Terry, because, again, let's debate ideas.
Right.
Don't say, I don't like your position. Get them off the radio. That's childish. That really is childish. Let's talk about the issues like adults with the Bible in your hand and the catechism in our hand like I do, like I've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah.
And let's spar in the arena of ideas on the issues that we can disagree on, Terry.
And Jesse, I will just repeat what we're all about. It's exactly what St. John Paul II said, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Everyone listening, deepen your knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our point, the perennial teachings of the church. St. John Paul said, this ends loneliness, overcomes sadness and uncertainty. It gives real meaning to life. It curbs the passions, exalts the ideals, expands the energies in charity, brings light into decisive choices. Let Christ be for you the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we do here at the Terry and Jesse Show. We want to help you be introduced to the person of Christ and his bride, the church, and we will not compromise one iota on any teaching. And every time we say something about what the perennial teachings are, you should say, let's look that up in the catechism. Let's check that out in the Bible. Wait a minute, I want to do a fact check about Jesse or myself. We're happy to look at these things and say, I don't care what Jess Romero's personal opinion is or even my opinion. I want to know the mind of Christ. That's our marching orders here. And that's why, Jesse, I'd like to bring up our next...
Yeah, but there are some things that we can disagree on.
Of course we can.
People can offer. A pope can offer his opinion.
Of course,
and you
about
can
the
say,
environment. We
that
got
sounds
that.
Good.
Of course.
That sounds good. Or, no, well, here's the way I see it.
Right.
So opinions are valid,
yes.
But just make your case.
Right.
Try to make it from scripture and tradition,
right.
Not from emotions.
And I would even say people who disagree on things like abortion or same-sex marriage, We welcome your calls. You know why? We want to dialogue with you because we have the truth, okay? And I'm not going to shut somebody down just because they don't agree with me. That's not what we do here. We want to encourage you to find the fullness of the truth, which is only in the Catholic Church. That's our position. Now, you might like it or you might not like it, but that's okay. We want you to know that the truth of Jesus Christ is in his church, and the teachings have been perennial for 2,000 years.
Terry, up to under the next topic,
yep.
I think that from reading this article, it says Benedict XVI speaks out.
Yeah.
As you read the article, I'll bring out some of the salient points.
Yeah.
I think he believes the Antichrist is here, and I'll show you why I think that. Look at what he says, and I'm going to bring out some of the things. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI accuses his opponents of seeking to silence him, while he also warns against a future humanist dictatorship that may control the world. Stop there. Who's going to run, according to 2,000 years of Catholic teaching, a future humanist dictatorship? A person called the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So this interview is done by a German author, Peter Seewald. It's going to be coming out. It's called Benedict XVI, A Life. And in there he says, a life that accusations that he has interfered in the current pontificate are based on a malignant distortion of reality. So Peter Seewald says that's not true that Pope Benedict is trying to interfere with Pope Francis for all the naysayers. Now, it's going to be about 1,100 pages.
A huge book.
It's going to be published in German on May 4th,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to be published in English. It's going to be called November. Benedict XVI, The Biography, Volume 1.
Yep.
Now, here's some of the he's 93 years old right now. He resigned from the papacy in 2013. My heart still breaks when I think about that. So this is like his spiritual testament, and he said he doesn't want it to be revealed until after he dies. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he thinks he's going to die soon.
Well, he's 93, Jesse. Give me a break.
Yeah. So he says, here it says, Benedict takes aim at legalized same-sex unions. Benedict said, a century ago, anyone would have thought it absurd to talk about homosexual marriage. Today, those who oppose it are excommunicated from society.
Yep.
Strong point. He's absolutely right.
Yep.
And I've been saying that for years as well. You want to make enemies right away at the school board, at the PTA meeting, City Hall? Say, hey, we got to overturn homosexual marriage and see. You'll be run out of the average civic event right now. It says he linked the issue to infanticide and test tube babies, saying it's the same thing with abortion and creating human life in the laboratory. It's only natural for the people who oppose same-sex unions and abortion, here it goes, to fear the spiritual power of the Antichrist.
Wow.
So what he's saying, all these things are, I mean, just read what he's saying. All these things, infanticide, test tube babies, homosexual marriage, abortion, he says that all this is done by the spiritual power of the Antichrist. Well, the Antichrist isn't some idea floating around like an air, like a cloud. Nope. It's going to be a person. So as I read this, and I can't wait to read the entire book, it seems to me as if he's dog whistling us and letting us know the Antichrist is here. He says it again. Look at what he says in this section. He says, modern society is in the middle of formulating an anti-Christian creed, and if one opposes it, one is being pushed by society with excommunication. Now he goes again. The fear of the spiritual power of the Antichrist is then only more than natural. And it really needs help of prayers on the part of an entire diocese and of the universal church in order to resist it. So if you listen carefully to this interview, Pope Benedict Emeritus is intimating. He's not saying directly. He's intimating. He's alluding that the Antichrist may already be here. Terry?
Jesse, he also says the real threat to the church is in the global dictatorship of proportionately humanistic ideologies. And Jesse, here's an interesting note. This is 2020. You and I did a show with Pope, Benedict XVI was the Archbishop in 1969. On a radio show, he said that the church is going to shrink and there's just going to be a remnant left. He was prophetic because I'm convinced when I look at the numbers since 19...
What year did he say that?
1969.
Okay, 1969, the numbers were still pretty high because I know before Vatican II, you had You had 7 to 8 yeah. persons in America
going to church on Sunday.
Going to church on Sunday. Yeah. That was like right at before the council, during the council. So the numbers were still pretty high back then. Right now, the actual numbers of people going to church, 17 to 20%, according to Georgetown University.
Yeah.
And of those, let's just give the high number, 20% of people are going to Mass on Sunday in the U.S. Of the ones going to Mass on Sundays, who actually believes in the church's teachings?
Yeah.
Who believes in the real presence of Christ? I'd say about 50% of those.
Yeah.
So the actual believers in the United States going to Mass on Sundays is about 10%. 1 out of 10 Catholics is about an actual believer, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Joseph Ratzinger 30 years ago.
Yeah. My take on this book, Jesse, is he's writing it in his 90s. He knows he's going to die. He even said in the article, as you stated, that some of the stuff he doesn't want out until he's gone to his eternal reward. Well, here's my take on Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict Emeritus, in that he is actually letting it all out in this book because it's like a last testament for him. His legacy's there. In the book, he also, again, discusses the thing that I think is so... if you'd have told me 20 years ago, Jesse, that there was a homosexual controversy, a lobby in the Vatican, I would have said, stop being an extremist. But I have to realize that in his book, Benedict discusses this, the gay lobby within the church and how to dismantle it. It also addresses his effort to address clerical sexual abuse during his time as the cardinal and the pope. Jesse, when he became the pope in 2005, I remember when he was trying to get things published. My friends in the Vatican told me that there were people who were losing his documents and making sure that nothing could get done. They made his life miserable. Last thing I'm just going to say, think about when Pope Benedict went to Germany and got off an airplane to greet all the dignitaries, and the civil people shook his hand and said, thank you for coming. And cardinal after cardinal, bishop after bishop, turned their back on the Pope. Yes, it's on YouTube today. If you want to see it, and say, check and see if I'm right, it's right there. Here's my point. When Benedict became pope, everything stopped. The wheel started stopping because they didn't want him to turn the clock back, so to speak, and they thought. And all he was doing was trying to proclaim the perennial teachings of the church. Jesse, is that still on YouTube? Because I watched it not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it on YouTube. I don't think they've taken it down yet.
Good.
I'm sure they haven't because they don't like him, so they'll want people to watch it. But again... another thing that the article says,
yeah.
According to a report at Germany's Cath.net,
yeah.
Benedict remarked, the spectacle of reactions coming from German theology is so misguided and ill-willed that I would prefer not to speak of it. In
Barely
other words,
everyone.
He's so disgusted with German theology and German leaders. He's like, I can't even talk about it. It's so sickening. That's what he's saying. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hey, we're going to talk about the battle for the California soul, which is the battle for America's soul. On the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 17, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty. According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Luke Caller, Catholic Radio. The last thing I want to mention about the last article, we'll go to the battle for California's soul, is that every time Pope Benedict says in the interview, anytime he says humanistic dictatorship, just remember your antenna should go up. That means Antichrist.
Exactly.
That's what it means. It's like saying car, automobile. Humanistic dictatorship means the Antichrist. Pope Benedict keeps mentioning that word over and over again. He's 93 years old. He's dog whistling us. Terry, talk to us about the battle for California's soul. Because
well, I'm in California.
You happen to be part of it.
Yeah,
you were the one that...
60 years of living here. We're in a battle. And like I say, what goes on in California, Jesse, you've always said it goes out to the rest
of the country. It's exported everywhere.
It does. I mean, the world, yeah. So here's what's happening. We got several groups of people. We're one of them, Virgin Most Powerful. We took the Blessed Sacrament with our auxiliary bishop, David O'Connell.
My respects for him, Terry.
Amen.
A lot of respect for that man.
Yeah, to the hilltop on the San Jose Hills, which overlook Orange County, San Bernardino, and Los Angeles. 15.5 million people live in those counties. That's probably, most states aren't even a third of that. So it was a huge amount of people last month. And here's what he said. He said, we're on this mountaintop to call down on the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the whole territory that we see here. We're calling on the glory of God upon the people, upon the land, so that we have may we have restoration of our lives, so that we may have vanquished by the glory of God the coronavirus, so that our people can move to a new life in this Easter joy and have the sacraments back. He blessed all these people. But what he really did, Jesse, is he really took the 2,000-year-old command of St. Paul to the church in Ephesus to put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil as they are turning themselves and others towards away from God, the saints and the angels of whom these cities are named after. Here's the point, Jess. We have a lot of evil in Southern California. We're the hub for the pornography. We're the hub, Jess, you talk about on Jesus 911 for spiritual warfare. We've got Satanists all over L.A. County. Now, here's what we're doing.
You got the most influential Satanist too in
right,
Southern California.
Right. And they're dealing with all the Hollywood people,
yes,
trying to influence them. So here's the point. My wife, Mary Danielle, is quoted in this article. A small number of lay people attended. And what was the catalyst about this event? She said, it's a spiritual shot in the arm and renewal of my commitment to Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist that Jesse just pointed out, where people don't believe in the real presence. This is what we got to do. Take Jesus out into the streets. She said, my wife, there's a need to take Jesus out to the streets, to the land, to reclaim. You notice, reclaim his people for his kingdom, especially during this pandemic. Now, she encouraged the lady to do what? To respectfully ask your bishop to do the same thing. And that's our message, really, Jess, is, you know what? Okay, great. We did it. You know, we just did what we thought was important for our faith. Now, of all the states, again, California is probably the most distant from God and least faithful to his commandments. So why are we doing this? To bring Jesus Christ to the people. And our friend, Jesse, Angelo Lubuti, has also rallied with a rosary rally here every single year in California. I've spoken at it many times. And he's saying the same thing. We're trying to bring down Our Lady's intercession. Then up in Sacramento, the same thing, the rosary. That's why a rosary crusade right now would be a very appropriate thing to bring back. And here's my bottom line, Jesse, and I don't want to be too political, but let's pray that the governor of California will be converted. Because right now, most of our clergy, including the archbishops, are taking orders from our governor to say when your churches can open. And I'm uncomfortable, but, you know, I won't get too much into that other than let's pray for the governor.
Well, you're doing something about it on the micro. You're doing whatever you
can. That's all we can do, and that's what I'd encourage others to do. Because you know what, Jess? Life is short. Eternity is forever. If one person was touched by that Eucharistic blessing and now realizes about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and falls deeper in love with Jesus Christ, it was worth it.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Terry, what's important.
Tell me, brother.
Is, again, there's just certain things that Catholics, we can talk about and we can disagree on. But we're not standing on the shoulders of people who are lightweight thinkers. For example, Archbishop Vigano just came out with a response about this virus.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, I'm telling you, if you could take what he says, it's exactly what I've been saying for weeks. I sound exactly like Vigano on this issue. Here's what he says. Look at, quote, there are powers interested in creating panic among the world's population with the sole aim of permanently imposing unacceptable forms of restriction on freedoms, of controlling people,
mm-hmm.
and of tracking their movements. The imposition of these illiberal measures is a disturbing prelude to the realization of a world government beyond all control. That's what Pope Benedict's warning us about himself,
yeah.
about a humanistic dictatorship. Both of them are talking about the same thing, total government control under a dictator. We call that historically in Catholicism, we call that the Antichrist. It is not good for the church to be, the bellhop or the busboy or the handmaid of the government. It's supposed to be the other way around. It's always been the other way around. The church has always been the moral conscience of the government,
mm-hmm.
not the government's bellhop or busboy. And, this is probably why Archbishop Vigano is in hiding, because, again, he doesn't talk like a company man. He talks like a prophet.
Yeah.
And guess what prophets have to do? Just ask Elijah. They have to go into hiding because you got Ahabs and Jezebels that want to kill them. But when you start towing the party line, you don't have to worry about having enemies or having persecutors. But when you start talking like Pope Benedict and Vigano, that's when you reap the whirlwind. That's when people come from outside of the woodworks, haters, and start just going after you because you are speaking truth to power. Terry?
You got it, Jess. I want to remind everybody in June next month, mark your calendars, Jess Romero will not be here physically because of the virus, but we're going to have a men's conference. I just talked to Timothy Gordon. He's excited about coming, Jess. He'll be coming via a computer, and so will you from Phoenix.
Yeah.
And Ruben Nava will be here. So it's the 13th of June. I would love to have it marked down because you'll be able to watch this at home on your computer or use our app or YouTube. It's lots of ways you can listen to it. And also Steve Ray, I just spoke with Steve, our good friend, Stephen Ray, CatholicConvert.com. He is scheduled on the 20th of June to give a virtual presentation on the Holy Land from his home in the Midwest, and it's all going to have video footage of the Holy Land. So, folks,
awesome.
This is like, you know, I don't know, when life of
a three college units, Terry, right
yeah,
there on history.
Yeah. For the whole day, it's only going to be Steve Ray all day talking about the Holy Land, also about the Old Testament figures, and then he's going to cover in the afternoon the New Testament figures in the Holy Land, and it's yours. I mean, just mark those dates, the 20th of June. We'll have it on our website where if you want to register, you can. I really appreciate that. But we have to bring these conferences through the video, through the internet, because we can't have them in our churches right now. But mark your calendar for that. Jesse, do you have any, events like that coming up for you? I want you to promote also. I always put you on the spot, bro, but.
Yeah, I've already done three or four. I got a few more, but I'll remember them tomorrow. Yeah, I'll have them done tomorrow.
Yeah, what we're doing, folks, is we're doing lots of talks. Like at 6 o'clock, I got another presentation to do for another organization. We're happy to do that because we want to get the word out. We're not going to let this virus stop us. Like, for example, confessions at our chapel on Saturday, 10:30 in the morning. We'll do it almost all the whole day. Why? Because we got to give people opportunities to meet the merciful face of Christ. Jesse, let's wrap this up with the five stones, if you got it.
Yeah, of course. But the only thing I just want to mention real quick is that Jesus knows the day we're all going to die.
That's right.
Okay? He knows. It's already been written, and it's called the Book of Life.
Yep.
The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, okay, your days are numbered. My days are numbered. And in Matthew chapter 6, our blessed Lord also tells us there's nothing you can do. I don't care if you're working out 3 hours a day, eating all of greens. There's nothing you can do to extend your time on planet Earth or to cut it short. It's already written. Psalm 139, verse 16. Job chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. I don't care how many times you wash your hands or wear a mask or self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. God already has your days numbered. And remember, Jesus also says, don't fear things that can kill your body. Are you kidding me? Only fear God who can kill the soul.
Man.
Matthew chapter 10, 28. So pray the rosary every single day, Catholics. Rush to the battle lines. Pray the rosary. Catholics, also Psalm 91. Spiritual communion with Jesus in the morning. Confession in the evening. The act of contrition. Read your Bible throughout the day. Again, spiritual communion with our Eucharistic Lord. I know a lot of people driving to parishes, they stand just right outside the wall.
That's right.
And they put up a chair. They say, I know Jesus is inside. I'm going to stay here and just spend time with him and pray.
Yep.
Penance, fasting on Fridays. Remember, this is the only way we can drive out some demons is by prayer and fasting. And again, before you go to bed at night, make a good examination of conscience and make an act of contrition. Say, Lord, give me the grace to make a perfect act of contrition. Let's stay united with the Lord spiritually until the doors are fully open. We can storm back the churches and get on our knees and worship him once again in spirit and in truth.
And don't forget what Our Lady said at Fatima. Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Please make those prayers. Jesse, I see if you got a short memory. This is Terry Barber signing off the Lebanese love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and my partner.
The Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Latin lover of Our Lady.
Amen. Thanks again. Dr. Ed Mazza is up next here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You can get our app or you can go online to listen. We want to thank you. And again, all you folks who have been supporting us in these years now, it's been great. We have new shows coming up in this month of May and on divine mercy and on spiritual warfare. We're doing it because we want to help you know Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God richly bless you and tell your friends about Virgin Most Powerful Radio and like us on the social media things. If you're watching us on YouTube, promote it. Send it to your friends. I want to thank all of you who have been so good to us. And again, Jess and I, we have one focus in life. Yeah, we want to get to heaven. We want to bring our family and we want to bring you to heaven. Why? Because we know that life is short and eternity is forever.
Right. So if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button,
there you go.
And share this show with others.
God love you. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same station. Up next, Dr. Ed Mazza, The Bar of History.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.